What follows is meeting two of two of the Fall 2000 Community Outing, recorded Saturday, November 4th, 2000 in Austin, Texas. Message title is Shepherding Young People.
I think everybody should have an outline. If not, you get one, okay? Does anybody need an outline? Okay, fine. Now, I really asked the brothers if I could kind of do this meeting, and they accommodated that, so I thank them. And I don't do, you know, I'm not involved in the family outings hardly, and so this is a kind of a special thing I want to share with you, and it's regarding shepherding young people, but it's not exempting the general burden of shepherding, because what applies to them applies to me and vice versa, okay? But I do want there to be a kind of an emphasis on this because they're not here. And we get to say what we want to about these young people, right? Because they're not here. Good. Then I want to take the chance to talk some about some basic things that I consider very important. And bear with me. This is definitely me speaking and you listening. I know it's not the ideal thing you like to do, but since it's a rare thing, let me do it, okay? All right. Now, I want to share some basic points with you. Point number one is I want to share the beauty and the utility of the Lord's moving.
Amen.
Okay, you need to catch the words here. There's a beauty and there's a utility when the Lord moves. Okay? In Isaiah 43:18-19, it reads, "Do not call to mind the former things." Already, that's hard not to do, right? "Do not call to mind the former things, nor consider the things of old. Indeed, I am doing a new thing.
Amen.
It will now spring forth."
Amen.
And here is the phrase, do you not know it?
Amen.
I ask everybody to consider this phrase. Do you know it? You see? "I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." Okay. And then Revelation 3:8. I would like to mention, of course, Revelation 3:8 is Philadelphia and the great door the Lord opened because they were faithful and practiced and performed and executed His way, spiritually speaking, right up until the kingdom. excuse me, but I want to emphasize the beauty and the utility of the Lord's moving. Now, I want to say just a little bit, and that is, we have been undergoing constant changes in the Lord's recovery in the way we practice. Somewhat, we've gotten more revelation. That's not been a huge amount, but we've gotten more revelation, especially regarding the all-inclusive Christ. We've gotten a little bit more revelation, and especially regarding the great universal body of Christ, we've gotten quite a bit more revelation. Now, the Lord has released all of this in the way of truth, and it's all over the earth. I don't think we can find somebody in the recovery that if we said words like this, they would say, "I don't know what you're talking about." It's everywhere among us in the recovery, okay? But also the Lord in recent years has really worked hard to give us more and more a practical way to go on and practice a church life and even spread the recovery and this moving of the Lord to practice the church life and spread the recovery is indeed a new thing. It's not anything, believe me, like it was when a person like myself came into the recovery. It's totally new from that. It's totally different from that. And so we need to kind of see, have a little check to see if we really see it. Do we see it? You see. Now, before Brother Lee, you know, passed away, there was a kind of a thing that I don't know. He just would not let go of for years, and that was he wanted us to have a way of practicing that he felt was according to the Lord, and also I believe inwardly he must have felt that I can leave this in the hands of the churches and the co-workers and the brothers and sisters, and they will have a way to go on. He gave us the blueprint. He really didn't leave anything out. It's really hard to find anything he left out. Okay. Now, as things have turned out, of course, we you know, spread out into the different things like homes, and got away from the meeting hall to some extent, except on the Lord's Day. And it's been quite a change when you consider sometimes we used to, in our past, come here as often as five nights a week. It's quite a change. So the change has really gone into us practicing a church life that is really more according to the what we can read and identify with in the New Testament. It's like that. After Brother Lee passed away, it was not a shocking thing in the sense that you could see it coming from a long way off, really, and it was a matter of time. I would say at that point there had to be something happen in the Lord's recovery, or we don't really have too much future, you see. And what happened was exactly, I believe, what Brother Lee wanted to happen, and that was that the recovery would go on by a way of blended brothers, etc., and they would take the lead, and they would meet often, and everybody would be in one accord and do it this way. And this has really been very practical and very useful, and it has been it's been very workable. It works. Okay, so anybody that says you know, you're here, and if you didn't have Brother Lee, well, you wouldn't have a chance. You know, they've already lost. See, they've already lost, because once it started, it's kind of like when you need to fill a gap, especially a big gap, you have to rise up in a prevailing way. And so there has been a great rising up to try to fill that gap, so that we can. Go on, have a way, and be Philadelphia to the very end, right? And as a consequence of that, the Lord has raised up many kinds of burdens. And it is truly an amazing thing to me. Burdens to do this, go different places. The Lord has raised up churches. He's raised up the ability to print and distribute. He's raised up things that were only kind of concepts or in their very beginnings when Brother Lee was still with us. But now, after some time, we see that most all of these things, and I'm not talking about one or two, I'm talking about 12 to 15 types of things, they are really being used very effectively in the recovery. I mean, we have periodicals that we print and send out, five or six different kinds, you know, just in that one line only, not to mention other kinds of communication on other kinds of mediums and so forth. All of this is working out. Plus, the spread of the Lord's recovery is still ascending in an unprecedented way. Right. We are gaining people globally that we just can't help it. The truth is there. The printed truth is there. A lot of stuff is there. A lot of churches are everywhere, and it just continues to blossom, and it's just happening all over the globe. Believe me, there's not someplace on the globe that's being left out. Okay, we are infiltrating step by step every part of this planet, the whole inhabited earth, according to what the Bible says. Okay, and then along about the, and I've been watching this and seeing this and realizing this is not a small thing, and so forth. And one thing I did realize with this is I said, you know, we weren't as aware of it as before, but now we must be very, very aware that the Lord now is giving certain brothers certain kinds of burdens and certain kinds of responsibilities. And with this, he's endowing them with the grace and strength, and even sometimes you might say a kind of a gift to go ahead and do that thing. And you see, now we are really practicing a diversification that is much more extensive than what we've ever had. And we need to rise up and honor. See, now is the time for us to honor all of these kinds of different burdens. We should do this because, you know, for some people, the Lord has put some kind of burden in their hand, and to them, that's what they were raised, that's what they were born to do. You know, it's kind of like that with them, okay? So we need to honor all of this. We don't need to bump into each other. There's plenty of room on this earth for us to do everything we want to do, and everything the Lord would lead us to do, there's plenty of room. Okay, so we just need to really be aware and cognizant of all of these different kind of burdens and let the Lord be released. And He is running to and fro over this whole earth.
Amen.
Right? This is a marvelous thing, saints. This is something even of a new thing. This is something of a step forward, a step higher, because we have been forced to rise up to fill a huge gap.
Amen.
And this is being done more than we anticipated. And now the thing, and the Lord Himself is blessing in many different kinds of ways, and we can see His hand. And so I can say right now I have more confidence. I don't know if I could get more, but I think I feel more. Let's just say I feel more. I don't know if I have more, but I feel more that confidence that this is the Lord's recovery than I have ever felt before. Okay, now this other thing that developed is that by it happening, we got to have a kind of a slice of this universal burden, and that slice was that we have been given the responsibility to kind of oversee, take care of, encourage, raise up, and make things happen in regards to the college campus work, okay? And that's why I put shepherding young people, because this is my chance to say something while they're not here, right? Okay, so this thing, as most of you know, this was not our idea. We didn't do anything to push it. We never pushed anything like that. Nevertheless, it came to us. Despite you know what we wanted, it came to us. And so now we've been doing this for some time, and we've had numerous teams from various places on Earth come to Austin because they were burdened for the campus. And we're learning every year. We get just a little bit better at doing this kind of thing and carrying it out and so forth. There's only one drawback that I can see, and that is that every team that leaves this a number of people that they have been shepherding, and they leave, and we're left with them. And so the accumulation is just, you know, it's reaching astronomical proportions, and they leave full of joy, and we leave, you know, full of problems and concerns and shepherding and so forth. So That's the downside. The upside is, you know, there's this huge matter of a burden to blend. We need to blend as much and as often as we can. And I think we're doing that to some degree. We can do more, but a big upside of this is so many people from around the world are coming here.
Right.
It's kind of like just sit still and the blending will come to you. You see? You know, the great burden of blending is coming to a local church near you. You know? And you just wait. See, we're enjoying fellowship. You see, I see Terrence and Stella are sitting right here. You know, I never met Terrence and Stella ever right before. No. And you know, after they go back to Australia or wherever, however it goes, I don't know if I'll ever see him again. Really, it's a chance that I won't. But we got one semester of blending.
Amen. Amen.
I really appreciate Amen. Terrence and Stella very much, as I do all the other saints from Australia and New Zealand. It's been a rare chance. If you haven't had the benefit of having the saints come to your place and just blend and just touch and drink of their spirit from as they have enjoyed the Lord's recovery in their part of the world or their part of the States, it's just a joy. It's joy unspeakable.
Amen.
Really it is.
Amen.
It is really, really been a big thing. Now that we have seen and we've had a number of these things happen, we can say that this is being really, really positive. Every team that's gone out, everybody is giving a good report. Everybody is saying people are jumping in. People are really excited. It's really helped not just the campus work, but it's helped indeed the whole church life. And so we are so happy about this, and we're encouraged. And we've never been as encouraged as we are at this very minute.
Amen.
You see, we're no longer just a fall, come in the fall and we'll do something with two teams. We're at least three teams in the fall and at least two teams in the spring. And so it's a year-round thing now. We've got to crank it out. And so we all have to be on board. We all have to be on board to do this, because it's not just a matter of a full-timer thing or a campus thing. It regards very, very uniquely and very definitely the saints, the homes, the families, and so forth. It's all there. Now, what I want to say is this, is that this is a very, very serious thing. It's serious. That we could catch people off college campuses. The clear-cut, by far, best place to be. Okay. And I don't think anyone will challenge this. Brother Lee would challenge it. He was pouring coal and stoking the fire on this matter. See, this is a thing that needs to be picked up. If you have any place of higher education near you, and in the United States of America, that's everywhere, and in most countries, that's everywhere. You see. Now, what we have a chance to do, is to really shape the church life, bring in new ones, and we have a chance to secure our future by gaining these new ones off the college campuses, because they are about 20 years removed from really being the backbone of a church life. You see? And we need them.
Amen.
We need these people.
Amen.
See? Don't we? We need them.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see this is a consuming thing. It's not too much to say this is a dream to me. I just dream about it. I dream all the time. All kind of dreams. I don't mean while I'm asleep. I'm wide awake having dreams. Just dreaming, thinking. What about, just dreaming. And of course, because the Lord has to work it out, I can't do a lot of things, but just take things step at a time. But still, I can dream. And this dream is the best dream I have ever had.
Amen.
It's the top dream I've ever had. To think of what could happen on earth, say in 5 years from now.
Right.
What would be, it's just picking up momentum like a train does when it takes off. It has to pick up each car one at a time to get the momentum going, and slowly. This is the way we are. And it's good it's happening like this, because we're not getting people really excited and then let down because it's not, there's no practicality with it. But it's just happening at a good rate, and it's going on in a good way like this. Okay, this is a big thing. The question I have is, I want everyone here to be sure you know it. You know God is doing something fresh here.
Amen.
Among many things He's doing, this is a big thing. And He is doing a fresh, new thing. Do you not know it? See, I can testify, I know it. And I'm not the only one that knows it, but I know it.
Amen.
And in knowing this, this just is an animating thing to me. It just really means we have a kind of we have a kind of opportunity right here in front of us that we've never had, we'll never have again, and no other place has it right now. And we get to have it and use it and get the benefit of it. And if the Lord continues to bless all the things, brothers and sisters, one day there's going to be a lot of explosions in different parts of this planet.
Amen.
And all of these are young people coming in, caring just for Christ and the church and His eternal purpose. And you know what? They've never heard of any of the problems of the past. They've never heard of this problem or that problem. They don't care who so-and-so is. If we would name a prominent name that used to be among us but became a casualty, they would say, I don't know that person. You see, we're raising up a new generation of believers that are right now as pure as the driven snow. It's so, so wonderful.
Amen.
Okay. Do you see it? Do you not know it? You see? In his day, Ezekiel knew this, but he was concerned for the people around him. Yeah. God is doing this. Do you not?
Right.
Don't.
Right.
Don't you know?
Amen.
Have you lifted up your eyes? Are you just continuing to live normally? You see? Okay. I have to move on quickly. This, of course, all is keying on the vital groups, and this is where we come in, because this vital group thing that has been raised up and was shared about in the first meeting, this thing is so key. I have some words here to describe it. It's small. It should get smaller. Some of the vital group meetings are too large, but we need to thin it out, share the burden, and go on in this way that would make it a very prevailing way. It needs to be small so that we can take care of everybody that's there and not just have a meeting, quote. It needs to be living, because the touchstone of the whole recovery is the matter of life. And it needs to be homey. We need to be homey people. You see, we don't need to be in the Satan driven concept of building big palaces and elaborate things. You know, they come into a sense of awe, thinking that that's the same as the sense of God's presence when they walk into St. Peter's or something like that. And the Protestants toned it down, but they still kept it living, you see. Now, we have to destroy it, you see. And we destroy it how? By meeting in the catacombs. See, where are the catacombs? That's our house. It's our house. Okay? It needs to be homey. Even the word home here, this is a misspelling of homey. See, it's just supposed to be H-O-M-Y. But I'm afraid that if I leave out the E, you won't get the impact. So I misspelled it on purpose. Okay? It's homey. It needs to be homey. Okay? And things like this. Listen, here is a secret. Now, some of us know this secret. Probably most of us do. But not everybody knows this secret in the recovery yet. But we're hoping that they're going to pick it up. You see, what's the secret? You can have the vital group meetings, just like was shared in the first meeting. You can have the vital group meetings, but they may not be a success depending on one thing. And that one thing is whether you have new people as fruit that you're trying to shepherd and bear in that meeting, whether it's in the way of the gospel or it's in the way of care for a new one. That is the most essential element of a small group meeting that makes it a living thing. Mm-hmm. You see, it's living or not living, very much related to who is in that meeting. If it's the same old people, it just tends to slide downhill into I'm familiar with you and you're familiar with me and this is the way we are and so forth. And, you do fall just slowly into a kind of a natural relationship and we just get a little comfortable around each other. But you know what? It's hard to get comfortable around a strange, seeking young person. You are on their toes. You don't know what lies behind the index of their eyes. You see, you need to pray, you need to fellowship, and then you need to look to the Lord over a period of time even to start to put something and deposit something there. This makes you into a different kind of person, full of life, really. It makes your meeting a different kind of place. And I would go further to say it makes your home a different kind of home. It makes it a sanctified home. Amen. And it will change the way you look at things. The way you arrange your furniture will take on a different kind of feeling. You see, this is here so that we can do it this way. And there are a lot of different things like this, you see. Because why? We want to really, we want to bring in the young generation. We want to pioneer the way so that many churches can do this. Hopefully not just many, but a whole lot can do this and know what is somewhat a secret, but we know it and some other places know it, and that is it has a possibility to really turn your church life upside down.
Amen.
See, that's what we want them to know. Okay, I have to go on really quick here. Number three, our allotted time, Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So you see, time is a factor here, and it's something that if you don't redeem it, it goes on its course to be in the realm of something negative. You gotta bring it back. You gotta sanctify, bring it back, and redeem it back to be useful for God. See, time is against God unless you redeem it. So we have to make time something that is placed on the Lord's side. Then in Psalms 90:12, here in this psalm, David said, Lord, he said, teach us then to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Amen.
Okay, teach us to number our days. You know, I knew this verse for a long, long time. But it wasn't until I read something Brother Nee wrote about this that really kind of caught my attention. And that was a long time ago I read this, but I was touched by it, that here is a man, David, saying, Lord, teach us to know our days, to number our days. You know, to say, look, I have just so many days left, or months, or years, or something. But anyway, all this time needs to be numbered so that we are very conscious of it, so that we don't fritter away time. Instead, we redeem it and recover it and use it for God's eternal purpose. You see, number our days. Now, I'll tell you a little story. You know, the New Zealanders will understand this story. But you know, last semester when Hudson was here, y'all remember Hudson? It's hard to forget Hudson. Yeah, okay. Hudson was here, and he was over visiting my house, and we were sitting there in the living room talking. And he was just, he was rapid fire, question after question after question after question after question. And he's trying to figure out how to transplant everything he's seen and heard and so forth in New Zealand. And I could see the big struggle going on. And so forth, and I don't have that struggle. To me, it's no problem. That doesn't have a problem to it at all. That doesn't exist to me. Okay, it could start. It could be there, and we need to have it here, and it's not a problem. I mean, we can do what they do there, and we can come here and apply the same principles and go forward. You see, it's not a problem, and we have tried to make it where nobody has to get hung up with a problem of how to make this happen here, you see. And so, in a sense, I'm a little bit disappointed that he has a lot of questions. I just don't like a lot of questions. You know, I just like him say, this will work. It'll all work. Certainly it'll work. That's what I would prefer to hear, you know. But instead, it's, you know, it was, oh, I don't know if I can do it. I mean, I'm just, how can I just do that? And we're this and we're that, and there's only 4 million people in the whole nation, and you know, every imaginable thing is coming at it. And so I said, okay, wait, Hudson, just stop. I said, you live in a place called Dunedin. I know where Dunedin is. It's a real fulfillment of the Lord's commission to the uttermost part of the earth. I mean, next stop is Antarctica. Okay, so he's in Dunedin with a few saints, and you know he went there with a good motive and a compassionate heart, and so forth. You know Hudson, he'll give himself to the uttermost. That's if he right. thinks. If he thinks it'll be useful and so forth. And I said, well, Hudson, I said, I don't see it, but I'm not gonna make a big deal out. The brothers there will fellowship, and where you go and what you do, it'll be up to them and so forth. I cannot see you stuck in Dunedin with a handful of saints. I can't see that.
Yeah.
And then I said, look, Hudson, let's just get real serious here. I said, let's consider, how much longer do you have to really function? I don't mean to live so much as to be in function, where you're really functioning. How much longer do you have? He's in his 50s. Well, let's say you have 20 years, okay? Maybe you have more. But maybe you also have less. Let's just, okay, you have 20 years. That's, boom, 20 years is fast. I said, okay, do you want to be in Dunedin for the next to take care of a little place? Or do you, which is not bad. Don't misunderstand me. Or do you want to really be in the Lord's moving because you love young people. You always have. You gravitate toward them. They gravitate toward you. And or do you want to be there and really be so much in the middle of things that you'd hardly have time to eat? Which way would you prefer? And he said nothing. Then everything got quiet. He said nothing. And later I found out, because he told me on the telephone, he said, "Brother, that question that night changed my whole life." He told me that. Then I found out through some other sources that when he went back, they had some brothers' meetings, and he must have testified something along this line. I don't fully know what it was, because other brothers started saying, "Well, you know, I think I have about 10 years left, and I am going to give those 10 years.
It was in the brothers' meeting with all the leading brothers in New Zealand came together. It was in that meeting he repeated what you said.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay, was it kind of like this? The brothers responded with, "Well, I have so much time left." And anyway, this was a kind of a breakthrough in the brothers' meetings in New Zealand, from what I heard.
That's right.
And everybody got into this real one accord. They just dove into this burden, and they just said, "Well, this is right. We only have so much time." Okay, now, that's New Zealand. Now, I talk to us here. Okay, see, I want all of you to ask yourself this question: how much time do you really have to be useful? How much time? I know God will love you and Christ will be gracious to you to the day you die. I know that. The question I'm asking is, how much time do you have to really be contributing to the fulfillment of God's purpose? How much do you have? Some have longer, obviously, and some of us have shorter. But you need to number your days. If that's too small for you, at least number your years. Give it your best shot and say, "I think I have this many." And go for it. Go for the whole thing, you see, and give yourself to it. And I promise you, I would not ask you to do this unless I have thoroughly asked myself the same question. See, how much time? And I also can assure you that it's not a matter of whether I live or die. It's a matter of how much time do I have left to function?
Right.
See? And have some degree of contribution to release my burden into the body of Christ concerning the gaining of young people for the sake of the future from the best place on earth that God has established all over earth, and that is the college campuses. Do you follow me? Okay. If you do anything with any of your years, or half years, or months, or even weeks, other than being in this line, you see, then you lose that. You're a loser. This stands against you in the coming kingdom, you see. So we have to be sobered by this. Our allotted time needs to be really, really given to this matter. Okay, I have so much. I could keep you here all night. I promise I could. I left out so many things. I just left them at home because I said there's no way to get to this, and I'm not even going to finish this. I can see, but. I just want to convey something to you. If it's not in knowledge, at least let it be in the sensation in your spirit. You see, we have to do this. It's not an option. You don't have an option. Do you have an option? There is no option.
Right.
No. There's nothing. See? Okay. This is what we have to come into corporately. We rule out the options. You see? We don't have time. Take care of what you have to take care of in a human way. Then free yourself to take care of the Lord's interests. Number four, 10,000 shepherds. This is this is my twisting of 1 Corinthians 4:15. Paul said this in a derogatory way. For though you have 10,000 guides in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And I say this because this word, I remember Brother Lee coming back to this many times.
Right.
10,000, and I think King James says teachers, but here, whatever, doesn't matter. He means it. There's a lot of difference between what they're doing and what I did to you. So I don't care how many. 10,000 is not equal to the one thing I did to you, and that was obviously to present, minister, and give them his portion of Christ to build them up, right? That was his heart, and that's what he did. And so he appeals to them in this kind of way. Not be fooled by so many outward things, but to stick with what he was intrinsically as a father of these believers. In Acts 20, it says, Paul talked to the elders, and he said, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. And this was in Ephesus. Among whom the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers to do what? Shepherd the church of God. One thing. He left them with one thing. The main thing, the heart of what we do in the church life toward others is to shepherd. Okay? Christ shepherds us and so that we can shepherd others. We gain Christ for the sake of helping others. The consolation we receive, the comfort we receive from the Lord is not for us. It passes through us, meets our need, and goes on to meet the need of the body. See, this is the Bible. Mm-hmm. This is God's way. Okay. Then look at 3 John verse 4. It says, John saying, I have no greater joy. Now, that is not a light statement.
Right.
To say, for John to say, the top joy.
Right.
Here's an apostle that's been with Christ a long time. And he says, the greatest joy is what? That I hear that my children are walking in the truth.
Amen.
Our reality.
Right. Right.
See, this is a great thing. A great thing. No greater joy. See, in a sense, you could say you could say that John, Paul, whoever wrote these verses, other people and so forth, have gotten hooked into a big addiction problem.
Right.
Okay? They are hooked on helping, shepherding, gaining, perfecting all the saints. See, Paul would never let this go. He would say, you know, in essence, in Colossians, he said, my goal is to present every man. And that doesn't mean every man on earth. That means every man his ministry was touching. Every man full grown in Christ.
Amen.
That's the heart of a shepherd. See, you need to be full grown in Christ. This is why we have vital groups and why they are small enough so that you can have a chance to be like this. Amen. You see, get hooked. Okay. Sometimes when I'm just by myself, which is most of the time, I just think, what do we need? Well, we have so many good shepherds among us. I know that. I do know that. I know brothers and sisters among us are good shepherds. And that's clear to me. But we don't have enough. That's our problem. And this verse always comes back to me. 10,000 teachers. And Paul here says, I always think of this as, and if we could just substitute in a positive way the word shepherds. You see, what we need are shepherds, people with this kind of heart for doing this kind of work. Then we're gonna win. You see, we will prevail. If we have people who are sitting around waiting for the Spirit to fall on them, or for somebody to knock on their door and minister Christ to them, and are I don't know what they're waiting on. Yeah. You know, maybe they're waiting on something tragic to happen so that they have to turn to their Spirit. Maybe they're waiting on anyway. Whatever they're waiting on, all that waiting is just one big exercise in vanity. You see. We need to wake up in the morning and start praying. And you know, you start praying to take care of your own personal relationship to the Lord. But a real shepherd can never stop there. They have to start to pray for a certain number of people, or they just can't walk away or get up or whatever and go. They can't do it. They don't have peace. If you don't have peace, it's a good sign. It means you have a heart that's being shaped like into a shepherd's heart. You follow me? If they can't enter into our prayer life and into our thought life and into our caring life and so forth, then we are just soaking up the riches of the church, but we're not giving anything toward the... the divine move of the Lord toward raising up something that would fulfill His heart's desire. And saints, I'm telling you again, we have right now, and I don't know how long we'll have it, but we have right now the best chance to do this. And as far as I understand and can see, we have the best chance. We have a window of opportunity right now to do this. And this has come to us. And I don't know that it's happened, that any other church anywhere, ever, at any time, has had this opportunity. That's fair to say. Puerto Rico is going to be here in a couple of months with their first wave. And we'll have the second wave from Southern California. Then we'll get ready for Falls Wave. That will be the second wave from Puerto Rico plus two new waves. You see, it's working. If we can knock off five a year, think of it, five years. Yeah. And you know, these people don't go home and just shut up. They go home and cause some, they light some fires. Right. And so the thing has this ability. You know, even though this is a young thing for us in our experience, it's an old thing as far as us being burdened for the campus, and so it's not a real big kind of change in us. But for the rest of for other places, other localities, for the people in other parts of the world, even to say we're going to pay the price to come to your place for the better part of half a year, then. This is the most unusual opportunity that I have known of, heard of, yeah. And it's happening. Who gets blessed the most is really hard to say. They think they get a lot. Actually, we get a lot. We just receive the blessing that they bring with them, and that the Lord is pleased to give because they're picking up the burden. Okay. Anyway, this is what I feel. We need a kind of a doubling of those number who can really shepherd, mm-hmm. and a perfecting of those shepherds who already are shepherding. Mm-hmm. You see, the shepherds are the gifts of men in Ephesians 4 that Paul said were for the perfecting of the saints to do the work of the ministry. You see, and you're not going to be an apostle. Okay, you're not going to be a prophet. You're not going to be probably an evangelist, a few evangelists. So it comes down to what you're going to be perfected to do is to teach and shepherd. And that teaching is a shepherd's teaching.
Amen.
Not a sermonizing or pontificating. It's a shepherd's teaching. See, timely. The Bible says apt to teach. This is just... I'm ready to give a timely word in a shepherd's way. Okay. A continues this kind of thought, and that is a personal giving. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, yearning in this over you. You see, yearning. This is a shepherd. They have people that they are in their bloodstream. They just can't get them out. Yearning in this way over you, we were well pleased to impart not only the gospel of God but also our own souls. Why? Because you became beloved to us.
Amen.
See, this is so good. You know, 2 Corinthians 12:15 is someone like it. But I, Paul speaking, I will most gladly spend and be utterly spent on behalf of your souls. That part is what I wanted. I will spend and be, listen, utterly spent on your soul. After your whole life is over and it's all calculated and summed up and so forth, what counts? What really counts? You see? Paul said, are you not our crown and joy of rejoicing in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? He didn't say anything about himself. He says, aren't you our crown? You see, we have to spend and be utterly spent. I don't care how you interpret it. This is a very absolute verse. It tells you something as a way of a personal giving of yourself that you can't get around it. I will do this. Paul says, I will do this. You see. And saints, because we have a conduit through our vital groups to take people out of the course of this age and into the flow of the Lord's recovery. And that conduit is mainly the homes that are being used. You see, we get a chance right here to spend and be utterly spent. And you know what? You'll say, that's so hard to do. You don't know how hard all the things, the family, the jobs, the pressures, the finances, everything is so hard. It's so good. This is so good. This hardness, this difficulty is what will be your making. It will cause you to be transformed.
Amen.
You will seek the Lord. He will meet you. And you get to, go through all of this by the grace of God. Amen. And the result is they found their way through the conduit and made the transition of the age from the world to Christ and His purpose. Isn't this a big calling?
Mm-hmm.
Huge calling. And it's not happening anymore in this hall or Justice Hall or at major things that's happening most of all, you see, through the homes. And the biggest conduit of all is the homes. Okay? I want you to get addicted like this. You need to be, and you will be blessed if you do. You know, the brothers in the church here, there are eight elders in the church here, and we meet in a weekly way. So that's a kind of a back door type of home meeting. It's small, it's living, and it's semi homey. Okay. These brothers have to make it. Okay. There are other brothers that are important to me that I pray for as well. But I always pray for these brothers. You see, they have to make it. There's no choice. There's no options. They have to be perfected and be raised up to shepherd the flock of God, and in some cases even a little bit more. See, they have to be raised up that way. I was hoping it wouldn't happen, but I thought that this year was going to be a harder year because the stakes were being raised as to how much impact we were having, and the stakes were being raised, and I realized that, and so I thought the enemy's not going to just let us sit here and do this without giving us some trouble. So I just watched, and sure enough, every brother I think this time has had some kind of difficulty, trial, testing. Mainly it's just the enemy working through man to do something. Just be a distraction. And I've seen it and I said, wow, this is just unbelievable. I mean, we might look like we're doing really good, but I think we've been singled out for some special, you know, some special, I'm not sure what. Anyway, the bombs are not missing far. They're very close that are being dropped. And so this is really significant to me. To me, it's a very personal thing. I can't just let it go. They have to make it. They have to make it through. You see, and this is what we have to feel. If something happens to one of them, this means I have to drop everything, to make sure they make it. You see. Nothing, at that point, nothing else matters. Nothing. Until you could say the problem is past. Nothing matters. Until they get through and they're restored back to their regular function and so forth. See? We have to have a kind of feeling like this about these young people, you know, they really don't know that much about how to get out of the rain. They really don't. And you know, I didn't either at that age. Amazing of how easily we could be duped, and how easily we could be distracted, and how easily we could be tossed to and fro, and how easily we could be taken away from the Lord's presence by something so innocuous that we didn't even notice that it was the devil himself, right, hiding himself in something very simple. You see? And we have to be on our own the alert so that we can really give these people a way to go on. Okay, point B. To shepherd these young ones through the home meetings, we need to be regular, normal, exercised persons. Okay, all these three words are to be regular means you're not standing out in a, some kind of super spiritual that they can't relate to type of way. To be normal is close to that. We do take care of the things that are important to us on earth and that the Lord has required and sanctioned and desires us to take care of in humanity. We have to be normal humans. But we have to go a step further and have to be exercised toward God and according to Christ. And this adds that flavor that in our being normal and regular, we do it as a God-man. We can be Jesusly human this way if we just will exercise ourselves. Exercise ourselves unto godliness. Okay. For a verse, I always like this verse in 1 Peter 3:1. In like manner, wives, be subject to your own husbands. That's not the part I want you to get. But it would help a little bit. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. Husbands, it's not in this verse, but in another verse, it's very clear. Love your wife, okay? Love your wife. This means love her more than you love yourself. Okay? And wives, don't wait for that to happen before you submit. Your submitting really helps their love kind of get released. And brothers, your loving helps your wife a great deal in submitting. Believe me, it's a two way. It's a chicken and the egg, and thing. And there's no heresy involved. You didn't know that was a matter of heresy? Yeah. If I said what came first, the chicken and the egg, you would laugh, right? It's a joke. But there was a time in church history when that wasn't a joke. If you said the egg, this means you didn't believe in creation, therefore you are heresy. You're a heretic. See. I want you to know that that was just I just let you know that for free. I don't expect you to give me any special credit for it. Here are wives with unbelieving husbands. We can assume that they are of all kinds, and Paul saw this happening. And he saw that the wives would be placed in very difficult positions. And so he said, be subject to your own husbands, that even if any disobey the word, and that would make them a lawless type of person, they will be gained without the word. Listen to that. That's not New Testament type speaking, gained without the word. But in the ultra familiarity of a marriage, they could be gained without the word in one way, through the manner of life of their wives. See. Now, can you tell me that they're anything but regular, normal, and exercised? You see. You can't leave anything out. If they're not regular, their husbands won't have anything to do with them. If they're not normal, their husbands won't have anything to do with them. If they're not exercised, they won't have anything to do with God. So you have to have all three there, you see. Timothy 3:16a says, and confessedly, great is the mystery of godliness, he who is manifested in the flesh. The flesh is a thing that, this is good, this isn't damaged flesh, this is good flesh. God wants us to be a testimony while we still live in our flesh on this earth until his coming or otherwise. See, minister Christ in a timely way. Hebrews 4:6. That's a misprint. I gave the wrong reference there, so don't read that. 1 Timothy 4:6. If you lay these things before the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Being nourished Amen. With the words of the faith and Amen. The good teaching which you have closely followed.
Amen.
Oh, this is the hallmark of the recovery.
Amen.
Is people ministering Christ and others getting nourished with words of faith and of good teaching which have been handed down from the apostles' teaching.
Amen.
This is really good. This is the way to minister Christ. The first verse was how we receive grace in a timely way.
Yeah.
In Hebrews, I didn't give the right reference. 2 Corinthians 2:2. For I did not determine to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and this one crucified. Okay, now for the long run, the other point B being regular, normal, and exercise. This relieves all of the young people in a way that they know they can be a part of us, they can fellowship with us, they can even commit themselves to the words which we minister to them and the vision that we see. They can give themselves, you know why? They see a normal human living and they want a normal human living. And they can see themselves projected down the line. I can be just like that. I can do that. I can have a wife. I can have a family. I can have a husband. I can raise children. This is a big testimony. You know, in my day, we had to come into the recovery more or less without that kind of assurance. We just had to go it by the high vision and trust the Lord. He'd work it out. Somehow. See. But now we have another weapon, and that is we have a testimony of regular, normal, exercised people, and they are better. They envision their own homes later in life like your home. And they take an aspect of your house and an aspect of somebody else's house, and they just have start to dream of being a person in the recovery that's normal, regular, and exercised. And they go for it, you see. And this is what we want to present them with. Well, that is kind of a stage. In other words, we kind of set them up as in the realm of humanity with a lot of things so that they are positioned properly to receive this next point, which is to minister Christ in a timely way. You see? Don't just have a stage and let them run around and do whatever and say, I just had the best time in the best stage. So-and-so's house is the best stage. No. So-and-so's house needs to be the best stage to consummate in a timely ministry of Christ to meet their needs. See? What we do is minister Christ. And we'll set the stage. If it takes 90% of our time to set the stage so we can have 10% to minister Christ, we'll do it. You see. But you must conclude with the ministry of Christ to meet their needs, solve their problems, and also to give them a vision, a high vision. And this is done through the various things that occur in a home meeting. You see. To give them a high vision of Christ. Okay? So you can't get... Sometimes if you want to minister Christ, you don't have a way to do it because you didn't take time to set the stage. You got to gain the credit. You see? Then the time is right, you minister Christ. You see? But don't just set the stage and hope the young people... some of us brothers have been to various places and asked some others to testify about their home meetings with the campus students, and they were so excited, and they said, oh, these people are... And I listened to every one of those testimonies. You know, up till this very minute, no one has said anything about ministering Christ. Their concept of helping a student is on a human level only. It doesn't consummate in the injection of Christ. You see. Therefore, it doesn't mean anything. A campus crusade can equal you in that. Okay. Now, this point is growing and overcoming according to Christ. Okay. I'm going to skip that and try to come back to it, but I don't think I'll make it. Let's go to E. Don't encourage the wrong thing. Oh. Don't encourage the wrong thing. 1 Peter 2:16, as free and yet not using freedom as a covering for evil, but as slaves of God. There is a temptation here, right? To use the Lord's liberty as a covering. That's the wrong thing. Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Trust me on this one, okay? If you don't believe it, let me believe it for you. He is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For he who sows unto his own flesh will reap corruption of the flesh, and he who sows unto the Spirit will reap life, will reap eternal life.
Amen.
Okay, you see, in all of this shepherding and so forth, we have to have something here that I would say it's not easy to pick the right words for this, but let me say it this way. In today's Christianity and in today's attempts to help college students, they rely very heavily on the world or the world scene at that present time. The world today has a certain culture. It's different than 10 years ago. It's different than the previous 10 years, and on and on and on. The essences of all the cultures and all the ages are the same. The enemy doesn't really change the essence, but the methodologies change. You see. We have to be those who are willing to, let's face it, the age is getting so removed from the convictions we have that to come to us and for us to just keep doing what we've been doing for 50 years is looked upon as very, very, very extreme now. And we haven't changed at all. And you know what? If we do change to conform to what their tastes are, then the recovery is a lost cause.
Right.
We lose. We go down with all the other things and people who tried to do something for God's purpose, or at least God's interest. Okay. We can't. No compromise. We have the Word of God. It's authority. It's absolute. We don't compromise. We just go with its revelation. You see. This means that we do have to have a definite separation of single brothers and sisters. This is weird, according to the world. It is really weird. But it's not it's not weird according to the Bible, and it's not weird according to our practice of any time you've ever been in the church. It has always been this way. And we have been saved a lot of problems by doing this, and even doing this at times in the recovery, all over the place, there have been certain kinds of problems. in this one matter of what? The looseness of the present age. And some people have gotten damaged to the point that they're still damaged and they're still away from us and they're still nowhere in sight. Some people got recovered and they're fine. See? But the risk is there. So we have to raise the wall. Not raise it. We just have to maintain the wall there. We're not into this mixing stuff. Mixing in the climate, the hot climate of today is so dangerous that it's hard to describe. It's so dangerous. You see, there is no such thing as just, this is just a nice little chit-chat, or this is a nice little mixing, or this is just something I do on the computer, or this. No. We have to say, listen, you're playing with fire. In today's climate, that match can light of its own accord. Okay. We have to say no. They say, well, you're crazy. How do we do... You've taken away half my life. We say, right, that's the half that needed to be taken away. You see? You know, it's amazing. But young people sometimes don't realize it. They feel like, well, I'm in this position or in this predicament and it's going to last for, you know, the rest of my life. And they don't realize that there's just a little zone there that they have to pay a price about. And they think, it's just me, I'm just so, I don't know, I'm just really like this. And so, and they don't think anybody else ever was that age or that tempted or anything like that. They think they live in a world all their own. They don't realize that all of us were there ourselves, you see, at a certain time in life. And they have a little price to pay, you see. And if they pay that price, then they get rewarded with the right person at the right time, and they get to contribute to the Lord's recovery. They get to go on positively. In essence, they get to have their cake and eat it too. You see? But there's a little fine line. And that is, if they are impatient and they jump the gun and so forth, what was ordained by God after the line becomes sin before the line. And it can really sink your ship. You might become shipwrecked. It's a thin line, you see? And it just all depends on whether you do it according to God's ordained way. You see? If you do it according to God's ordained way, then you get to have your cake and eat it too. Otherwise, you will pay the price. And they need to know that. And as you get to know them more, and as they get to know you more, and they're able to open up to you more and more and more, you'll see this thing always comes up. Okay. They wonder, always people who are unsaved or who have just gotten saved, they have a lot of friends, close friends, best friends, buddies, all this kind of thing. And you know what? We cannot legislate them into sainthood. We can't do it. We can't. Okay, we can't say you need to be perfected within 4 days. It could happen, but it probably won't happen like that. Okay, but you know, as time goes on, they're going to notice things. Their conscience is going to start to work more. Their touch with the Lord will become more solid, and things will go on and on and on. You see. And at the right time, at the precise time, at the opportune time, they might ask a question to you. Say, Danny, what's the deal? Could you just explain to me what it is in this realm? I don't get it. I see what's happening, but it all looks so outward and phony to me. Could you give me something of an explanation? That's your moment. See. You're all of your praying, all of your doing, all of your whatever is led up to you being able to provide them with light at this point. then you give them a vision. Not just don't, you know, hold your breath until you're married. That doesn't help anybody. See. Don't have any friends or buddies or best pals in the church. We are here to be your brothers and sisters in the family of God. That's the truth. It's much better and higher than to be your buddy in the flesh. Okay. You're killing me and I'm killing you. In that way. That's an old way. But we're here to be your family. Okay. In the home meetings, because we don't organize them in certain types of way, and we want them to be informal, and we want them to love you and your kids, and we want them to feel comfortable, and we want them to eat your food, and we want them to wreck your house, and we want them to do all kinds of things like that. We want that. But if there's something that's happening there and you can tell it, then you have to draw a line. Yeah. This doesn't happen. Look to the Lord how. Use grace, but it's your house.
That's
and
right.
You're responsible to draw the line.
Amen.
You
good.
Say you have to do that.
That's good.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to make it. Because I've been putting these others in along the way. Helping each one personally to stand firmly with balance. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15 is the verse about standing steadfast, immovable. Anyway, this is about standing in a steadfast way in the Lord. Okay, then Matthew 11 has another kind of revelation, and this one the Lord speaks, and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what he's going to have with the young people is their burden is so heavy. How can I be in the courses that I'm in? They're so hard. I have to work. I have to be in the church life. I'm in the sister's apartment. I'm in the brother's apartment. I have to go to all these meetings. There's only so many hours in the day. I can't do all these things. Well, what if they choose to drop the church life out of their human life? That's a real danger. Right? Okay. Here's what I mean. Helping each one personally to stand firmly with balance. Every time you get a young person to a long, after a certain period of time, they're going to confront difficulties in managing their time to get the best use out of it. They have to do certain things for school, and their heart has to be as a priority for God's purpose. It has to be for Christ and the church. So there's this conflict, and they have other conflicts, and some of them are highly personal. And so what we have to do is we have to get in there with them on a one-on-one basis, and we have to be able to find a way to fellowship with them, and look, here's eight things. We can let this one go, and we can let this other one go, and we can do this one only. It only needs 60% of what we're doing now, and that will solve the problem. And do the others as you presently do them, and that'll solve your problem. See. You think, that's easy. It's easy for us, maybe, but to them, they're in the woods. They're just lost. They're confused. They're running. They don't have time to stop and figure it out. See? So we have to be there to help them to go on, that is to stand firmly in the Lord, be immovable, be steadfast, but they have to have a balance in their life because there are certain things or requirements placed upon them, and we have to help them, not to say that's not important, you know. Well, some of the requirements may not be important, but we have to find the ones that are and the ones that are not. We have to help them accordingly, you see, so that they are not casualties to burnout or anything else. You see, we have to help them in that kind of way. Okay. Last thing is the matter of relationships. I already said quite a bit. I can sum it up this way. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Okay. That's how you do it. See, it's very simple. You have a big question. You have a lot of questions. You know, there is not one person anywhere around that can tell you the answer. But you know, if you have faith in God, He'll work everything out. Mm-hmm. And that's what He said in the last verse. He said, He talked about all the things the Gentiles are seeking after. And then He says, look at this great statement. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Mm-hmm. These are human things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, you see. Don't sweat it. Don't worry. Have faith in God. He knows, you see. But seek the kingdom, and He'll take care. You take care of Him, He takes care of you. Okay? That easy. Okay. Okay. Time is up.
Amen.
Time is out. And the meeting is over. Thank you. You're invited to the college meeting, which... dinner starts in 25 minutes. You're invited to come.
And I have to say one thing, that the meeting place has changed tonight. It is in the UTC, which is one building over 2.102A, for tonight only. So it's in the University Teaching Center, room 2.102A. It's just one building over. We'll have a brother standing there at the Sanchez in case you get lost to send you over.
Okay.
Probably some snacks over there still, I think, huh?
Mm-hmm.